All right, so we've got this pile of change management stuff you sent over, and we've got excerpts from two sources.
Okay.
Change Management Excellence by Martin Roberts, and then Change Management Masterclass, a step-by-step guide.
Yeah, sounds good.
And it seems like you're trying to figure out how to implement new educational technology.
Yes.
Maybe like a learning management system.
Right.
Or even like a whole new training culture.
Exactly.
So,
These sources have some really good advice, I think, for anyone in corporate training or HR or management who is trying to figure out how to make those changes happen.
Yeah. And Change Management Excellence really jumped out at me because it's got all this stuff about NLP or neuro-linguistic programming.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't just like mention it. It actually gets into some of the techniques like the meta model and how that can be used in change management. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I like about Robert's approach is that he really explains how these NLP tools can help you understand people and how they see the world and even help them shift their perceptions when needed.
Okay.
It's all about realizing that everyone has their own map of how things work.
So unpack that a little bit. Like, what is the meta model?
Okay.
And how would that apply to, let's say you're introducing a new learning management system to a team that's used to doing things the old way?
So think of the meta model as a way to ask really specific questions that help people clarify what they're really concerned about.
Okay.
So instead of hearing vague complaints like, this new system is too complicated, you can use the meta model to dig a little deeper and find out what the real issue is.
Yeah.
Maybe they're worried about the time it's going to take to learn the system or how it's going to impact their existing workflow.
Uh-huh.
Roberts breaks it down into three main categories.
Okay.
Deletions, generalizations, and distortions.
Could you give me an example? I'm starting to see how this could be useful, but I need to kind of wrap my head around it a little bit more.
Absolutely. Let's say someone says they're just trying to micromanage us with this new LMS.
Okay.
That's a generalization, right?
Yeah.
So you can use the meta model to gently probe a little deeper and say, who specifically is trying to micromanage you and what actions are they taking that make you feel that way?
Oh, okay.
And by getting to the specifics, you can often address the underlying concern a lot more effectively.
So it's about moving beyond those assumptions and getting to the heart of the matter.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. I also noticed that Roberts talks about the importance of selling the benefits of change, not just the features of the new technology.
Right.
This seems like classic sales advice.
Sure.
But how does that play out in the context of, let's say, rolling out a new training program?
That's such a good point. And it ties right back to the meta model. By understanding the individual maps of your team members, you can tailor your communication to highlight the benefits that matter most to them.
Okay.
So for example, if you're implementing a new learning management system, instead of focusing on its features, you know, like it has gamification, it has mobile access, you focus on how those features translate into benefits for specific roles.
Right.
For instructors, it might mean less time grading and more time for personalized feedback.
Hmm.
For learners, it might mean more engaging content and the flexibility to learn on their own terms.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
So it's really about connecting those features to the real world needs and desires of your team. I'm starting to see how this NLP stuff can be really powerful.
It really is about meeting people where they are, understanding their perspectives and communicating in a way that resonates with them. It's not about manipulation.
Right.
It's about creating shared understanding and genuine buy-in.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, Change Management Masterclass takes kind of a different approach.
No, but
they use these interesting metaphors to explain how change works within organizations.
Uh-huh.
They talk about change as a machine, a political system, an organism, and even this flux and transformation model.
I think these metaphors provide a really helpful framework for understanding how different organizations approach change. If you're in a company where everyone sees change as a well-oiled machine, they're going to expect a very structured and predictable process.
Yeah, they want those detailed project plans, timelines, clear lines of authority.
Exactly. But if the dominant metaphor is more about flux and transformation, then you might need to be more flexible.
Okay.
Allow for a degree of experimentation and emergence.
So it's like figuring out the language of change in your organization.
Yeah.
And knowing the dominant metaphor can help you tailor your approach and communicate more effectively. It's fascinating.
Absolutely.
But speaking of different approaches, Change Management Masterclass also challenges that traditional top-down approach to implementing large-scale changes, especially in today's fast-paced world.
They advocate for a more emergent approach, where solutions are allowed to evolve from the bottom up. It's about creating spaces for collaboration and allowing those closest to the work to contribute their insights and ideas.
That seems especially relevant when you're trying to shift an entire training culture. It's not just about implementing a new system.
Right.
It's about changing mindsets and behavior.
Yeah, and that's not something you can just dictate from the top down. It requires a more collaborative, organic approach where people feel empowered to co-create the change.
Now, both books seem to agree on one key point,
mm-hmm.
and that's the importance of highlighting the problems that the new technology or training is going to solve.
Right.
They both emphasize focusing on those pain points.
Yeah, it's about building the case for change by really understanding the challenges that your team is facing.
Okay.
Are they frustrated with outdated training materials? Are they struggling to access the information they need?
Okay.
Are they spending too much time on administrative tasks by clearly articulating these problems?
Yeah.
You're not only creating a sense of urgency, but you're also making the benefits of the new approach so much more compelling.
It's like saying, look, we hear you, we understand your pain, and we found a way to make things better.
Exactly.
That's a lot more persuasive than just saying, here's a cool new tool, use it.
Right.
But both sources also offer a word of caution.
Yes.
About something they both seem to feel strongly about.
They both emphasize that culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Uh-huh.
You can have the best plan in the world, but if it clashes with your organization's culture, it's likely to fail. And Roberts even provides a cautionary tale in Change Management Excellence.
Yeah, he talks about a company where a total quality management project actually backfired and harmed the company culture. They implemented all the right processes and systems, but they didn't consider how those changes would impact the people.
It's a reminder that implementing new technology or training programs isn't just about the technical aspects. It's about understanding how those changes will impact workflows, power dynamics, even the unspoken rules of the organization.
So it's about being aware of those cultural nuances.
Yeah.
And proactively addressing potential conflicts or resistance.
Absolutely.
It's about seeing the big picture and considering the human element.
Exactly. And that leads to another important point, that both books emphasize change is an emotional journey, not just a logical process.
Right. Roberts talks about these stuck states that people can get into.
Yeah.
Those negative thought patterns and emotional states that can prevent them from embracing change.
Right.
And then Change Management Masterclass talks about the transitions curve.
Yes.
Where people might go through denial, frustrations, even anger before they come around to the new way of doing things.
It's a reminder that we need to acknowledge and validate those emotions, not just dismiss them. It's about providing support and resources to help people navigate those transitions successfully.
Which brings us to a really interesting technique that Roberts describes in Change Management Excellence called timelining.
Oh.
And this is where individuals visualize past and future events to gain strategic insights. And I'm trying to imagine how we could apply this to the rollout of new educational technology.
Think about guiding your team through a process of exploring the potential long-term impact of this change. Imagine them visualizing themselves using this technology a year from now, 5 years from now.
Okay.
Seeing the positive outcomes it's creating for them, for their learners, for the organization as a whole.
So it's like painting a picture of a future where this change has been successfully integrated, where those initial challenges have been overcome and the benefits are being realized.
Yeah.
That could be incredibly powerful.
It could be a way to build excitement, generate buy-in, and address some of those emotional barriers we were just talking about by seeing themselves successfully navigating the change. It becomes less intimidating, more achievable. It becomes a story they're part of creating.
Okay, this is all incredibly helpful, but I feel like we're just scratching the surface here.
You're right. We still need to unpack the importance of feedback.
Ooh.
Those specific NLP techniques for managing stuck states and some practical tools for navigating the implementation phase.
And we'll do all of that in the next part of our deep dive.
Yes.
But for now, think about how these ideas resonate with your specific context.
Okay.
What are the dominant metaphors in your organization?
Mm.
What are the pain points you need to address? And how can you start incorporating some of these NLP techniques into your communication strategy?
Good questions.
We'll come back to those questions in part two.
Yeah.
But for now, keep those ideas percolating.
Absolutely. So let's pick up where we left off and talk about feedback.
Okay.
Both Change Management Excellence and Change Management Masterclass really emphasize that feedback is not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing dialogue.
Yeah, that makes sense. In Change Management Masterclass, they really drive this point home.
Yeah.
by saying that feedback helps make sure that the change is being implemented as intended.
Right.
And that it helps highlight any difficulties and reveals anything that needs to be done to make sure everybody is aligned with what the changes mean for the organization.
You need to regularly check in with your team, solicit their input, and be willing to adapt based on what you're hearing.
Okay.
Not only does this show that you value their perspectives, but it fosters a sense of ownership in the change.
Right.
Which leads to better adoption.
Now, change management excellence offers some interesting insights into how we can use NLP to really manage that human side of change.
Yeah.
Which we all know is so critical to success.
Absolutely.
Roberts outlines a step-by-step process for something he calls the well-formed outcome.
Okay.
Which helps teams clearly and specifically define those desired outcomes.
Uh-huh.
He even suggests starting with sensory-based descriptions.
It's a great approach because it gets people thinking concretely.
Okay.
What will you see, hear, and feel when this outcome has been achieved?
Oh, wow.
It's almost like painting a picture of success.
I love that it's not just about stating a goal. It's about making it tangible. It's experiential, but it's not just about focusing on the positive, is it?
No. You need to consider both sides of the coin, he suggests, asking, what could prevent this outcome from happening? What roadblocks might you encounter?
Okay.
When trying to achieve similar outcomes in the past, by bringing those potential problems to light early on, you can start to develop strategies to overcome them.
Okay.
Before they derail your efforts.
It's like that saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Exactly.
But Roberts doesn't just leave you with a list of potential problems. He provides a framework for identifying critical success factors.
Yes. These are the specific milestones that need to be reached.
Okay.
In order to achieve that desired outcome.
Okay.
He gives a great example of implementing a new learning management system to address a lack of engagement in online training.
Okay. So one critical success factor might be getting 80% of your team actively using the new LMS.
Right.
Within the first 3 months.
Exactly.
And another could be a 20% increase in course completion rates.
Yeah.
Within the first year.
It takes that vague notion of improving engagement and makes it tangible and actionable.
Okay.
You can track your progress, celebrate wins,
and
make adjustments along the way.
This is great stuff. This is practical.
Yeah.
Now let's circle back to the emotional side of change for a minute.
Okay.
This is something that change management excellence really explores in depth, particularly through the concept of stuck states.
Stuck states are those negative thought patterns and emotional responses that can prevent people from embracing change.
Okay.
Robert shares a story about working with a client whose company was stuck in these outdated ways of operating, even though they knew they needed to change.
And it turned out the root of this stuck state was the lingering influence of the company founder.
Yeah.
Even though he had passed away years earlier.
It's amazing how those unseen dynamics, those unspoken beliefs and assumptions can have such a profound impact on how people approach change.
But Roberts doesn't just identify these stuck states. He actually offers some ways to help people move through them using NLP techniques.
Exactly. One technique he highlights is called reframing.
Reframing.
Yeah.
So that's about helping people see the situation from a different perspective, finding new meaning in the change.
He gives an example of helping someone reframe their fear of public speaking.
Oh.
Instead of seeing it as a terrifying ordeal, they learn to reframe it as an opportunity to connect with others and share valuable information.
So it's about shifting the focus, highlighting the positive and empowering people to see the change as a chance for growth rather than a threat.
Exactly.
I can see how that would be helpful when introducing new technology or training programs.
Mm.
You know, people might be resistant because they're afraid of losing their job.
Right.
Or becoming obsolete.
Uh-huh.
But reframing can help them see it as an opportunity to learn new skills.
Yeah.
And become even more valuable to the organization.
It's about turning that fear into fuel for growth.
I like that.
And NLP provides the tools to help facilitate those shifts in perception.
So we've got those individual perceptions we've got to understand.
Yeah.
But then Change Management Masterclass offers a valuable framework for thinking about those larger organizational dynamics that are at play.
Especially those unspoken rules and power structures that we often just take for granted.
They talk about the importance of understanding the cultural web of the organization, which encompasses those assumptions, beliefs, symbols, rituals, stories, and power structures that make up the organization's unique personality.
It's like the DNA of the organization.
And understanding this cultural web can really help you anticipate how change is going to be received.
Right. You can start to see those unwritten rules that influence behavior even unconsciously.
Okay.
For example, in some organizations, there might be an unwritten rule that any new initiative has to come from the top down.
Uh-huh.
In other organizations, collaboration might be valued above all else.
So knowing those unwritten rules can help you avoid potential pitfalls.
Yeah.
And tailor your approach to that specific cultural context.
Yeah, absolutely. Change Management Masterclass doesn't just give you that theoretical framework. They offer practical tools for actually mapping out that cultural web.
So what kind of tools are we talking about?
Well, they suggest identifying the key players,
okay,
those individuals who hold influence and power, who are going to shape how the change is perceived and implemented.
Okay.
It's about understanding those formal and informal networks of power.
Okay, so we've got to figure out who the real decision makers are.
Right. They also encourage you to analyze the organization's rituals and routines.
So, for example, how are decisions typically made?
Exactly. Are there regular meetings where new ideas are discussed?
Okay.
Are there formal or informal channels for feedback?
Okay, so by observing these patterns,
yeah,
we can start to gain valuable insights into the organization's cultural DNA.
Exactly. And don't forget about the stories people tell.
Oh, the stories.
What are the narratives circulating about previous change initiatives?
Oh, that's interesting.
Are there heroes or villains associated with those efforts?
Okay.
But these stories can reveal a lot about the organization's values and how it views change.
So it's about connecting those individual perceptions, those stuck states, and the larger cultural web to get a much more holistic picture of the change landscape.
Right. But understanding these dynamics is just the beginning.
Okay.
Change Management Masterclass offers some specific tools for navigating that implementation phase, particularly for large-scale changes.
Okay. What are some of those tools?
Well, they stress the importance of establishing clear communication channels.
Okay.
And making sure that the right information is reaching the right people at the right time.
That seems pretty obvious.
You'd be surprised how often it's overlooked.
Yeah, you're probably right.
They suggest developing a communication plan that outlines the key messages, the target audience for each message, and the best channels for delivering those messages.
So it's about being strategic and intentional.
Exactly. And they emphasize the importance of transparency. People are more likely to support changes when they understand the rationale behind them and how they will personally be impacted.
That makes sense.
They also suggest establishing a system for gathering feedback throughout the process.
So we're talking about being responsive, making adjustments as needed.
Oh, right. Acknowledging that you don't have all the answers from the outset.
And they offer some tips for managing resistance.
Oh, yeah. Resistance is inevitable in any change initiative.
Yeah, for sure.
They advocate for actively listening to those concerns, addressing them directly, and even involving those who are resistant in finding solutions.
That's brilliant, turning that resistance into a constructive force.
Exactly, a source of valuable insights.
Okay.
And don't forget to celebrate those short-term wins along the way.
The little wins.
This helps maintain momentum, keeps people motivated, and reinforces the positive impacts of the changes you're making.
It's like building this snowball of positive energy that can help carry the change forward. But implementation is only one phase of the change process.
Exactly. We also need to think about how to make these changes stick.
Right. For the long haul.
And that's exactly what we're going to explore
okay.
in the final part of our deep dive.
Okay. So we've talked about understanding those individual perceptions and how important that is.
Right.
And then that cultural web and navigating that.
Yeah.
And then even like managing resistance during that implementation phase.
Absolutely.
But how do we make sure that these changes that we're working so hard to put in place actually stick?
Yeah. How do they become part of the fabric of the organization?
Exactly.
So Change Management Masterclass talks about the idea of integration, which is all about embedding these changes into the DNA of the organization, making them the new normal.
Okay.
And it's not just about systems and processes.
Right.
It's about those deeper shifts in mindsets and behaviors that we've been discussing.
So it's moving beyond compliance and getting to a place where people are really embracing this new way of doing things.
Exactly. And one of the key ingredients to successful integration is reinforcement. Change Management Masterclass highlights the importance of rewarding those desired behaviors.
Yeah.
And It doesn't have to be anything big or complicated.
Mm-hmm.
It could be as simple as acknowledging team members who are using the new technology effectively.
Okay.
Or sharing success stories that highlight the positive impact of the changes.
So it's like creating this positive feedback loop where people see that their efforts are recognized and appreciated.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
They also talk about aligning your performance management systems
Okay.
with the desired outcomes of the change.
So for example, if you're trying to implement a new LMS to improve training effectiveness, you might start incorporating LMS usage and course completion rates into performance reviews.
Yeah.
So it's sending a clear message that these changes aren't optional.
Right.
That they're crucial to your success.
Exactly.
But it's not all about carrots, is it?
Well, sometimes you need sticks too.
Okay.
Change Management Masterclass acknowledges that there might be a need for consequences for those who resist or fail to adapt. And this doesn't have to be about punishment. It could be anything from additional training and support to, in extreme cases, formal disciplinary action, depending on the severity and the context.
It's about setting clear expectations and holding people accountable.
Exactly. But integration isn't a one-and-done process either.
Right.
Change Management Masterclass stresses the importance of ongoing monitoring and evaluation.
Okay.
They suggest regularly reviewing the impact of the changes, gathering feedback, and making adjustments as needed.
So recognizing that change is an ongoing process.
Yes. It's a journey, not a destination.
And that brings us back to this idea of continuous learning and adaptation, and change management excellence offers a great tool for this with that timelining technique we talked about earlier.
Yes. Imagine using timelining to help your team envision the future of your training program.
Okay.
What will it look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
Wow.
What new technologies will be available?
Yeah.
What skills will they need to develop to stay ahead of the curve?
So it's about creating a culture where change isn't seen as this disruption.
Right.
But as an opportunity for growth.
Yeah.
Innovation.
It's about being proactive and anticipating the future rather than reacting to it.
Now, both Change Management Excellence and Change Management Masterclass emphasize this idea of aligning change initiatives with the organization's overall strategy.
Absolutely. This is so important. Implementing new technology or shifting your training culture can't happen in a vacuum.
Right.
It needs to be connected to the bigger picture.
It's like making sure all the pieces of the puzzle fit together.
Exactly. What are the organization's goals?
Mm-hmm.
What challenges is it facing?
Okay.
How can these changes help the organization achieve its strategic objectives?
So by making those connections clear, you're not only demonstrating the value of these changes,
they're also increasing buy-in from all levels of the organization.
And Change Management Masterclass points out that change is often driven by forces outside of our control.
Right. They cite a study that found that the number of managers who are affected by three or more forms of change increased from 45% to 53%.
Wow. So the business landscape is in constant flux.
Yeah.
Organizations have to adapt to survive.
Absolutely.
Let alone thrive.
So as you think about bringing new educational technology into your organization, ask yourself, what are those external drivers?
Okay.
Is it about staying ahead of the competition?
Yeah.
Is it about meeting the evolving needs of your learners?
Wait.
Or is it about responding to those larger shifts in the business environment?
So understanding those external drivers can really help you make a stronger case for change.
Yeah.
And connect those changes to the organization's goals.
And that can make all the difference in getting people on board.
Right.
And making those changes stick for the long haul.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into change management, I think the key takeaway is that change is a complex process. But with the right tools and strategies, you can not only implement new technologies and programs effectively,
right,
but you can also cultivate a culture of continuous learning and adaptation within your organization.
And it's important to remember that change is ultimately about people.
It is.
It's about understanding their perspectives, their needs, and their fears.
Yeah.
It's about leading with empathy, clarity, and a genuine desire to help your team succeed.
And I think it's important to have a little fun along the way.
Absolutely. Change can be challenging, but it can also be incredibly rewarding, especially when you see your team embrace new possibilities and achieve amazing things.
So to all of you out there who are leading change in your organizations, remember, you got this.
That's right.